sometimes after work, or especially before the 4th or the 4th of July. Well, the 4th of July, we always think about beer. But New Year's Eve, you start thinking about, what can I serve? What am I going to drink, whether for a party or just for my own enjoyment? And a lot of us turn to beer, and beer, craft beer now has become a huge, huge thing. There are breweries all over this city making fine products. There's breweries all over the country making fine stuff. And sometimes you just don't know where to go to get some good information. Well, I can help you out. You can go to the Beer Temple, which is at 3185 North Elston. Chris Quinn is here. He is the owner of the Beer Temple. Craftbeertemple.com is the website. Chris, welcome. Hopefully you can set us straight on a couple of things, because I love beer. I'm unabashed beer fan. And a number of years ago, I started going from my normal, you know, domestic mass-produced stuff and trying craft beers here and there. And now I enjoy all sorts of beer. The one thing I fear, and I mentioned this to you before we started, it's with all the craft beers and all the information that's out there, I always worry that beer is going to become very fussy. And suddenly something that everybody enjoys and was the accessible drink, it was the drink of the masses, is now going to become an elitist beverage. Is that a danger that you fear as you try to educate people at the Beer Temple?
Well, first, thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure.
I really appreciate it. And to your point, I think that it is something that we should be somewhat aware of. Nobody wants beer to become snooty. I think that anything that kind of keeps people at bay or kind of excludes people or makes people feel uncomfortable isn't something that is really what we need. One of the great things about beer is that, like you said, it's the everyman's beverage.
Yeah, everybody's going to have
every
Joe
man
six
above
pack.
21 will say.
Right,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So why that's a wonderful thing, and I think we should play to that, and that has nothing to do with the quality of the beer.
Right.
So I think sometimes, you know, people get a little bit excited and they start chasing these exclusive beers, and then they kind of want to, you know, show everyone what they know, which is okay, but what's worse and sometimes goes along with it is they also want to show people what that person doesn't know. And that's when it gets bad. So yeah, I don't like that.
So how did you come to be the owner of the Beer Temple? What's your background getting you to be an expert in beer?
Well, man, I was doing software development.
And really?
So, yeah, I was just in something completely different. I was a craft beer lover for many years. I honestly saw that something special was happening, and it was something that was American. Right now is the greatest time, literally, in the history of the world for beer in terms of quality and choice out there, and the center of it is America. And yeah, I kind of realized, like, wow, this is really amazing. I'd come from a family of wine people,
okay,
so I have an appreciation for wine. But, you know, wine, unless you live in a very select few places on earth, you know, your local product is not going to be world class.
Right.
Where beer, truly world-class beer is being made all over the place, including right here in Chicago and all over the country. And I saw that people were really passionate about this, and it got me excited, and I just wanted to learn more and more about it. And eventually I decided I wanted to help teach people about it. And really that's one of the main focuses of the shop, is to help educate people.
You made a point of wine having to come from other places and beer being local. How important is freshness? Because, you know, I remember a few years ago, one of the big companies, I don't remember if it was Bud, was the sell-by date or the freshness date.
Yeah, the born-on date.
Yeah, the born-on date.
Yeah.
Is that really an important aspect to beer?
It really is.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it truly is. I think one of the reasons that you're actually seeing such a local resurgence is because certain styles are so time sensitive that your local product will just taste better because it's going to taste so much
fresh. What styles in particular?
Anything hoppy. So anything that has a pale ale on it, an India pale ale, a pale ale, a double IPA, those beers, hops fall off very quickly. They, they degrade. The aroma goes first, and then the flavor, and then finally the bitterness. But it can happen in as quickly as certainly a month. And in three months, it can really be a different beer than what the brewer intended it to be out the brewery.
So if somebody stockpiled some IPAs at the end of the summer, by now, it's not that beer that you bought.
No, I mean, it's not necessarily going to be a bad beer, but it's, like you said, it's not the beer you bought.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when we look at it, you should just, should you buy a beer just that you're going to drink right away instead of, you know, some people save it. And then you hear of some different brews that are stouts or something that people say, oh, you should age this one.
Sure. So, you know, what I said about freshness matters, it does matter. And it matters differently for different types of beers. Some beers are great to age. I would say there's stronger beers in general change over time. Do they get better? Not as many. Some will change. There are a very few beers out there, I think, that actually do get truly better with age. But I'm talking about 99.8% of the beers. Drink them now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you don't have to tell me twice.
Yeah,
drink them now.
Right.
I've been seeing a lot of some of the local breweries and some outside of this area going back to cans instead of bottles.
Yeah.
And is that to protect the product inside? Is it just a marketing thing? Why the resurgence of cans? Is it crucial to the beer?
There are a whole bunch of reasons. A lot of people will say that cans are actually better than bottles. I'm not sure I'm in that camp. There are, I think, advantages and disadvantages. The main thing is that the worst thing for beer is sunlight. That's the worst thing. But after that, it's oxygen.
And you can't shotgun a bottle.
True. You can't shotgun a bottle. No.
Well, that's what we're talking to the mass-produced. Violetta just wants quantity over quality. She doesn't care. She doesn't care what the ingredients are, what the aroma is. She just wants a lot.
You kind of can. I'll just have to show you how to do it, maybe off air.
Yeah. Please do.
You can. Okay, there's tricks.
That's a party trick right there.
Yeah, we're talking. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, just a quick, can I get a recommendation looking for a good porter or a stout? Love drinking those types of beer in the winter.
Sure. I think a great everyday porter that's just a good drinker is from Great Lakes Brewing. It's called Edmund Fitzgerald. I mean, I just think it's great. For something that's a little bit bigger, a stout, this time of year, the bourbon barrel aged stouts start to come out and people really like those. A lot of those get snatched up really, really quickly and they're impossible to find. So I'm kind of giving you like the last secret that not everybody has found out about yet, but, well, I guess the cat's out of the bag. I actually brought one. Wild Onion Brewing has a 100% barrel-aged beer called Drago that they release this time of year, and you can actually find it places, and it's delicious. So if you want to try that, you know, bourbon barrel style imperial stout, That's a great one.
Well, come down, Kevin. You can taste it. We're going to try a couple of these beers and get some more recommendations. Chris Quinn is here. He is the owner of the Beer Temple. It's at 3185 North Elston. Craftbeertemple.com is the website. You get some great beer. You learn some things about a product that you love, but may just be a little more curious about. Let's talk a little bit about, Chris, some of the great local breweries, because we hear about, you know, Goose Island and Two Brothers and also Revolution. It seems like every week there's a new brewery, and they all seem to be doing really well and producing really good product.
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many breweries out there now, especially here in Chicago. It seems like you said a new one's opening all the time. So I brought a couple. I have a variety of styles as well. So I brought the Drago that we talked about, which is, you know, northern Illinois, but it isn't essentially right here in Chicago. But I do have a couple. I have I've got like a hoppy pale ale, and then I've got a really cool light lager as well from Baderbrau called Southside Pride that I figured would be a fun one to start with. You want to try it?
That would be great. And while you're undoing this, because there's, you know, people know, if I know wine, I get certain certifications. There's certifications for beer as well. Is it Cicerone?
Yeah, Cicerone is how you pronounce it, and it's essentially a beer sommelier is what it is. And it really is the program came about to help restaurants and industry people to kind of know the basics so they can sell this beer properly, because there's a lot of misinformation right out there. I know I mentioned before that, you know, light is really bad for beer, and the reason is because it gives it kind of like a skunky flavor. Like skunking beer comes from light hitting it.
Okay.
A lot of people think it's from getting a beer warm.
Yes, I thought it was if it was cold, then it got warm, then it got cold again, that would skunk it.
Nope, that's not what it does. And nothing but the light. That's the only thing that does it.
And I know I read at the Beer Temple you have certain, you have certain shades on the windows, and then you have a different type of light in the coolers because fluorescent lights.
Right, so really it's UV and a lot, certain elements of like the blue-green spectrum of light are what will skunk a beer. They actually, the light interacts with the hop compounds in the beer.
Okay.
And it changes it at a molecular level, and it creates a skunky aroma. And happens, it can happen in like 1 minute. Very, very quickly, it can happen. So I put up some UV filters on my windows, and I also removed all of the lights in my store, because I'm crazy. So all the overhead lights and also in the cooler to be lights that don't put out the the spectrum of light that is damaging to beer, or at least as best I could.
So do we all need to build beer cellars? Can I put it in my fridge, or what's going on?
Yeah, dark and cold is just fine.
Perfect.
Yeah, beer likes to be dark and cold.
And one other thing. Now, we're drinking. What is this again? This is very delicious.
This is the Baderbrau Southside Pride. It's what's called a Helles style beer, which just means light in German.
Yeah.
So this is essentially a craft version of what kind of the big guys are doing.
Okay.
You know, it's not quite as crisp as a Pilsner. It's just a really light, bready, drinkable beer that you can just have whenever, and it goes with a lot of stuff.
And we're drinking it out of a nice glass, and again, we know, you know, in a pinch, you go right out of the can or bottle. A lot of people go... But does the glass make the difference? Does it make a difference what kind of beer you drink out of what glass? If you have your druthers. I mean, you know.
I think you can probably get away with a couple different styles of glassware. I don't think you need to have a unique glass for every single beer you have. You know, a lot of bars, they'll give you the branded glass for every single beer. A lot of that is marketing because as soon as you take that beer out of the package, nobody at the bar knows what you're drinking anymore, so they want the logo on it. I mean, let's be real. That's what they want it.
Perfect.
But there are certain shapes that are better for certain styles. But mainly you just want something that you can stick your nose down in and get the aromas.
Yeah.
And something that looks pretty. I mean, you do drink with your eyes to some extent. So other than that, I think, you know, that's the most important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about temperature, because a lot of people, somebody asked, just to clarify, so if you take a beer that's warm, you know, you buy it off there, and it gets cold and then it gets warm again, obviously probably not ideal for a beer, but does it affect it in any way?
Not especially. So what happens is the colder a beer is, the slower it will age or degrade. Okay. So if you're bringing it up in temperature, it will age more quickly.
Okay.
As long as you're not really getting the beer hot, like 90 degrees, and you can like cook beer essentially.
Okay.
It'll start tasting cooked and grainy and stuff like that. Aside from that, you know, if it's at room temperature and then you put it in the fridge and it comes back up to room temperature and in the fridge, I've never experienced any negative effects from just purely the temperature change.
What about serving a beer? Because most of us, you know, in Europe, beers seem to be served a little warmer. I was just over in Spain. Some of the beers served warmer. But here, we want our beer icy cold. Like this was very cold and delicious.
Yeah. So this beer is cold. I wouldn't say it's ice cold. And I don't want to be put my tinfoil hat on and be kind of a conspiracy theorist. But a lot of the reason that they have these ice cold beers is, one, you know, on a hot summer day, if you're mowing the lawn or you're out golfing, something really cold is going to be refreshing. And in that case, you do want something ice cold. The thing is, when a beer is that cold, or anything is that cold, it will numb your taste buds a little bit, and you're not going to taste it as much. So you're not going to taste what's actually there. So, you know, if your beer maybe doesn't taste that great, you might want it to be served or drank ice cold. So then maybe you want to have a marketing campaign about why it should be that cold. And what I tell people is, you know, the last sip of a bottle shouldn't taste bad. If it tastes bad, it's just because it's warm and you're tasting right. what it actually tastes
like.
It's not inherently worse. A good beer, the last sip should taste just as good as the first sip.
So how do we go room temperature? Do we go slightly chilled? Yeah. Does it matter for style?
Really what I go by, a good indication, and it's a rough one, is by how strong the beer is. Okay. So if you're at like a 3-5% alcohol beer, like this beer here is a light lager, that can be cold, that can be in the, you know, the upper 30s, something like that, low 40s. As you go up, generally you can have it a little bit warmer, until if you're talking about a stout or a big old barley wine, something like that, you can have that at like a red wine temperature, so just like slightly below
room temp. Okay.
Something like that.
But, and those you shouldn't drink cold, because you want everything, all the characteristics to come out, right?
Sure. And what you can also do is pour it cold and then see how it develops as it warms up.
Oh. It's a fun experiment. Yeah, it's like science.
You'll actually start to taste it and realize that, oh, yeah, when it's cold, I'm not tasting as much.
Yeah, you're just tasting the cold. Unfortunately, we are out of time. So, but tell us again, a couple really good, if people are going out and they want something special for New Year's Eve and they want it local and you want to impress your friends when you go to the party and you're not bringing in a cardboard 12-pack or something going, hey, look what I got for $6.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a great brewery called Unane, and I picked a very hard beer, a brewery to spell, I guess. It's UNANNEE. People call it Uni Annie.
Okay.
He makes wonderful large format, so wine bottle size beers that are great for special occasions. Another one is Illuminated Brewworks. They do similar stuff, just really beautiful packaging. You'll kind of look like you know what's up when you bring it. You know, everyone else bringing champagne, but I brought this kind of special local beer.
Very nice. And they're available, obviously, at the Beer Temple.
Obviously.
Can people find them other places? But
yeah,
if they're not near 3185 North Elston.
A store that sells better local beers should have these. If not, they should know about them and start bringing them in.
Fantastic. Again, the Beer Temple is at 3185 North Elston. Go to craftbeertemple.com. If you want to learn about beer while you're buying beer, that's the place to go. Chris, I really appreciate you coming in. We'll talk about some of these others when we're playing the commercials and going to the news.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Thanks. We'll do news at 2. It's WGN.